ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नारायण। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम 7th कैंटो चैप्टर 13 टेक्स्ट 42। नाहं निन्दे न च स्तौमि स्वभावं विषमं जनम् एतेषां श्रेय आशासे उतैकात्म्यं महात्मनि। नाहं ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। Different people are of different mentalities. Therefore, it is not my business either to praise them or blaspheme them. I only desire their welfare, hoping that they will agree to become one with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Super Soul, Krishna. Purport. As soon as one comes to the platform of Bhakti Yoga, one understands fully that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev, is the goal of life. Vasudeva sarvam iti sa mahatma sudurlabha. This is the instruction of all Vedic literature. Vedesha sarver aham eva vedyo, Vedanta krit ved, davi vedacham. Sarva dharman parityajya, mam ekam sharanam vraja. There is no use in praising someone for material qualifications or blaspheming him for material disqualification. In the material world, good and bad have no meaning, because if one is good, he may be elevated to a higher planetary system, and if one is bad, may be degraded to the lower planetary system. People of different mentalities are sometimes elevated and sometimes degraded. But this is not the goal of life. The goal of life, rather, is to become free from elevation and degradation and take to Krishna consciousness. For a saintly person does not discriminate between that which is supposedly good and supposedly bad. Rather, he desires for everyone to be happy in Krishna consciousness, which is the ultimate goal of life. The previous verse has no purport, so we'll just read the translation of that also. O my Lord, sometimes I bathe myself very nicely, smear sandalwood pulp all over my body, put on flower garland and dress in fine garments and ornaments. Then I travel like a king on the back of an elephant or a chariot or a horse. Sometimes, however, I travel naked like a person haunted by a ghost. And today's verse is, different people are of different mentalities. If it is not my business either to praise them or blaspheme them, I only desire their welfare, hoping that they will agree to become one with the Super Soul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. It's the best part, Krishna. How can one live with people of different mentalities? It's because everybody is one with Krishna. Otherwise, there is no oneness. There is always variegatedness. But the only way that this great personality is saying that I only desire that they will all agree to become one with Krishna. Obviously, this becoming one with Krishna is not the merging which the impersonalist refer to. But becoming one means becoming one in desire with Krishna, accepting Krishna as all in all. Srila Prabhupada writes in this purport here that as soon as one comes to the platform of Bhakti Yoga, one understands fully the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vasudeva sarvam iti sa mahatma sudurlabha. Such a person, he understands that ultimately everything is Vasudeva. Or in a more detailed sense, everything is an expansion of Vasudeva. Actually, everything is Krishna. From the absolute point of view, there is nothing else but Krishna. Because there is no difference between the energy and the energetic. So from the point of view of absoluteness, we are all seeing Krishna all time. Sthavar jangam dekhe, na dekhe tara murti, sarvatra hai ishta deva surti. This is a verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita in the conversation with Ramanand Rai. That Mahaprabhu is explaining, rather Ramanand Rai is explaining, that a saintly person, wherever he sees, sthavar means that which is immobile or non-moving, and jangam, that which is moving, everywhere he sees his Ishtadev. That is love. Love means you feel the presence of the beloved everywhere, especially in relationship with Krishna. A devotee is one who perceives Krishna's presence in every atom of the creation. Not only theoretically, but at an advanced stage, actually. Actually, Prabhupada was once challenged by a person that, have you seen God? Have you seen God? Typical question. So Prabhupada immediately replied that, will you believe my answer? Then when he agreed, then Prabhupada says, not only have I seen God, I am seeing God all the time. When the eyes of devotion are awakened, it's not that for some time you see God, then again you forget God. It's as natural as for us to see the light of the sun during the day, so it is natural for a pure devotee to see Krishna. One devotee asked Prabhupada, how can we remember Krishna all the time? Prabhupada says, I am surprised, how do you forget Krishna? Everything is Krishna. Prabhupada gives the example of his own shoes. He said, just like when you look at my shoes, if I am not there, when you look at my shoes, you remember Prabhupada. The devotee is one, when he licks anything, he remembers Krishna. Prabhasmi Shashi Suryayo. In the Gita, Krishna says that I am the light of the sun, of Shashi, this moon. I am the air. I am the life of all living beings. I am the ability in man. I am everything, ultimately. So unless one is blind, there is no reason to forget Krishna. Maya is simply a breakage of connection with Krishna. There is no separation in the ultimate sense. It's simply illusion. Illusion means to not see the connection with Krishna. So that is why this great soul is preaching to Prahlad Maharaj, and he's saying that I simply desire the welfare of all. It's very important, because even in devotee circle, different people are of different mentalities. Some devotees are, you know, very rich. Some are very poor. Some are very advanced in Shastric knowledge. Some are apparently foolish. Some are very well in the external dress, and others are more or less not concerned. Some are disciples of one guru, others are disciples of another guru. Some are disciples from one sampradaya, others are disciples of other sampradaya. So to say one is better than others is actually an offense. The principle is very nice. It's not my business to praise them or blaspheme them. Of course, it's always better to praise if there's a choice. But most of the time when we praise devotees, unless we are very advanced, our praise is dependent on the external qualities. And concomitant with that, just like a coin has two sides, concomitant with that praise is a mental offense to other devotee. It doesn't happen all the time, but it can happen. Because if I like somebody for some material quality, and if that quality is not seen in another devotee, then I may mentally blaspheme him or think ill of him. Because the way the Vaishnava Prad works is very, very subtle. It doesn't have to be physical. It's really very subtle. The best course of action is not to praise, not to blaspheme. You praise somebody saying, oh, how wonderful you are. You are reflecting Krishna's light. By your speech, you are reflecting Krishna's light. By your management, you are reflecting Krishna's light. By your cutting of vegetables, you are serving Krishna. There's no higher glorification of a person than to say that he is a servant of God. Prabhupada said that. In one lecture, Prabhupada said, if somebody just knows that I am a servant of God, he is perfect. Other things are simply like namak mirch, putting little spices here and there. Sometimes the spices become more important than the actual substance. It's unfortunate. And it's not so much unfortunate for the person, but for the one who thinks like that, for him it's unfortunate. In one sense, if somebody blasphemes you, there's no loss. Or even somebody thinks ill of you, it's no loss, because your path to Krishna is not obstructed. But if somebody blasphemes or thinks ill of some other person, his path may be obstructed. So devotee should be very careful, because we don't know the subtleties of material nature and the subtleties of spiritual nature. Very few people understood Prabhupada when he was in India. He had to go like ordinary person, traveling in train, sometimes begging for money, selling back-to-back magazines at tea shops. Who could have understood that this person was going to be the founder Acharya, the worldwide society, a senapati of Lord Chaitanya? Doesn't appear from external behavior. It's really. And even among us own self, Maharaj, Radhanath Swami Maharaj was saying that the new person coming to the temple may be actually a pure devotee. We may not understand. Even Maharaj's own life, when you see in his book, it's sometimes bewildering, because one may think, oh, why did not immediately surrender in an external level? Why did not immediately accept? And many people knowingly or unknowingly did offend him. So it's very subtle. Spiritual life is very subtle. Actually, we cannot judge. How can we judge? We may judge on the basis of the color of the cloth, but that's simply external. We may judge on the position in the hierarchy of the organization, but that is also external, because the needs of the society demands that we have the structure. We may judge on the knowledge of the Shastra, even that is external. So really, the only way of a pure devotee is humble spirit, is total dedication. And even that, judge not that ye be judged, Bible says. Judge not that ye be judged, because how can we judge? It's good to offer, always externally also offer respects to everybody. But somebody may be offering respects, but may not be offering externally. So, in Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada told one devotee, Ameshwar Maharaj, formerly the BBT of, the chairman of BBT in Los Angeles, he wrote a very beautiful letter to him and said, praising the activities of ISKCON Los Angeles for having distributed 17,000 books in 3 days. Prabhupada was very happy, and the whole letter, 90% of the letter is devoted to praising book distribution. The conclusion is, do not forget that the highest thing is to save oneself. Prabhupada writes in the last line, the highest thing is to save oneself. Because if whatever we do, we think that I am slightly better than others, then we sink our boat. Better to have a simple boat without holes than a big ship with a small hole. Yeah. All it takes is a small hole to lose everything. And we see in most cases that's what happens. Just to illustrate this point to a very extreme degree, Lord Chaitanya, he took the example of his own mother. Who could be a more advanced devotee than the person in whose womb the Supreme Lord resided for 13 months, who is none other than Devaki or Yashoda, who is Kausalya, the mother of the universe, the embodiment of all devotional service? At one time in Jagannath Puri, Lord Chaitanya asked a devotee, does my mother have devotional service? And the devotee replied, your mother is the embodiment of all devotional service. All devotional service comes from Chaitanya. This was much later. But earlier, during the Mahaprakash Leela, Lord Chaitanya was distributing mercy to one and all, not to Shachimata. And Srivas Thakur was concerned, and he asked. And then Lord Chaitanya explained that she has offended Advaita Acharya. She has offended Advaita Acharya. And what was the offense? It was not like a physical offense. It was simply a mental offense. Not a very big offense. Very apparently small. But when the Lord wants to make a point, he makes it in such a way that it's drilled through the core of all the devotees. So Shachimata, only offense was, as you all know, Vishwarup was the elder brother of Lord Chaitanya. He was always absorbed in hearing and chanting. He would leave home early in the morning and go to Advaita Acharya's home. And they would be just engaged in hearing Bhagavatam and doing kirtan of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That was their daily schedule. Basically something like 365 days a year, Pune Yatra. You know, complete absorption. Nothing else. And then in the afternoon, Shachimata would send Nimai. And Nimai would come dressed in the four directions. Very beautiful. He would attract everybody's heart. Everybody would just stop everything and just be looking at Nimai, stunned. And then Nimai would pull Vishwarup by his dhoti and say, Mother is calling. Vishwarup would come back for prasad, again go. And then after some time, this mother and father, they were thinking that Vishwarup is little too much Krishna conscious. Little too much. So they decided that we should get him married. And the day they were thinking about his marriage, that night, Vishwarup left home. And he went to the forest. He accepted sannyas and came to be known as Shankararanya Swami. He traveled all over and finally came to Pandharpur, where he left. So Shachimata was thinking in her mind that all this is because of Advaita. This Advaita is Dvaitmaye. He is full of duplicity. He took away my son. He may take away my another son also. So because of this offense, which was not known to anybody else except the super soul in the Lord's, in Shashimata's heart. And Lord Chaitanya is non-different. So Lord Chaitanya decided not to give love for God, Shashimata. The devotees were concerned. The devotees are always concerned that others receive mercy. And Mukunda Dutt was not getting mercy. The devotees were praying and asking, why not give mercy to Mukunda Dutt? Why not give mercy to Shashimata? And when Lord Chaitanya explained, the only way is that she gets the dust from Advaita's feet. They ran to Advaita Acharya and asked for mercy. And Advaita Acharya was surprised. He said, how can I even think of something like this? She is the mother of the universe. She is so exalted. She is my mother. And he started glorifying her. Advaita was not thinking, okay, at last somebody has understood my glory. Everybody should know what kind of Vaishnava I am. But he was feeling humbled. Advaita was so humbled that he actually fell unconscious. At that time, Shachimata got the dust. And then she became unconscious. So this is a very Shulapani Sama. It is Shulapani means the holder of Trishula. That is Lord Shankar. Even if Lord Shankar commits a Vaishnava Prad, he falls down. Obviously, Lord Shiva cannot fall down. But this is a sentence made just to make the point so emphatic. That even if you are on the level of Lord Shiva, you can fall down. That's why other things, especially in Kali Yuga, lust, greed, anger, we all have to deal with these things and get gradually purified by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. Gradually the chanting process is purifying everybody. This is not really a big obstacle as much as is offending a Vaishnava. Ramachandra Puri, he followed, he, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the story of Ramachandra Puri, this particular point is mentioned, that one should not praise somebody or not blaspheme anybody. But Ramachandra Puri followed the first part. He never praised anybody. He blasphemed. He was blaspheming even Lord Chaitanya, judging. This Gaudiya Vaishnava, they're eating a lot of prasad. See, there are ants crawling. There must have been sweets in breakfast. Or he was thinking like this. And he finally fell down. He went to the extent of offending his spiritual master. So this principle is very nice, that it's not my business to praise them or blaspheme them. I only desire that they all become free from, they become one with the super soul. And Prabhupada writes here that if somebody is good materially, he'll go to higher planets. But if one is not good, he will go to lower planets. But really it doesn't matter whether you go high or low. It's dry stool, wet stool, doesn't make much difference for a person who is sane. It's material world, everything is like this. whether you become Indra or whether you become an insect, everywhere there is the separate mentality of lording over. The only fortunate person is one who has taken complete shelter of Krishna. That person is very rare. One who has once surrendered to Krishna. Krishna Amitomar. Amito Tomar, Tumito Amar. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says very beautiful song. Atmani Vedana Tuyapa Dekori Huinu Parama Sukhi. Dukha Dure Gela Chintana Rahila Chaudike Anandadi. Now, my Lord, I have surrendered to you. I am completely free from all encumbrances. Amito Tomar, Tumito Amar. I am yours. You are mine. I have no separate interest. Today is a very fortunate day. Today is the appearance of one glorious Acharya, Shripad Ramanuja Acharya, whose main teaching was this surrender, Prapanamrita, one of the books. The life of Shripad Ramanuja Acharya is called Prapanamrita. This Saranagati, that was the principal teaching of Ramanuja Acharya, to surrender to the will of Krishna. In a different way, he was preaching the same philosophy as what basically is embodied by Srila Prabhupada. The same philosophy of surrendering to the will of God. In fact, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took important teachings from various sampradayas. Lord Chaitanya personifies the teachings of all the previous acharyas, integration of all Vaishnava philosophy. So from the Sri Sampradaya, which is the Sampradaya of Ramanuja Acharya, he took this point of bhakti without any contamination of jnana and karma, pure devotional service. And secondly, the mood of being the servant of the servant, serving the Vaishnavas. Serving the Vaishnavas, this principle is coming from the Sri Sampradaya, which Lord Chaitanya himself exhibited, practiced. He would serve the devotees. Even before he became a devotee, quote-unquote devotee in the formal sense, he was always trying to serve Srivas Thakur, wash his clothes, fold his clothes, serve in whatever way. So, it's a very important day for all of us. I'd like to take this opportunity, blessings of all the devotees, to speak something about his life. He is Ananta Shesh, actually, according to the Sri understanding. Ramanuja means the younger brother of Lord Ramchandra, that is Lakshman. He appeared on this day as the on the year AD 1017, he appeared, and his mother's name was Kantimati. His father was Asuri Keshav Acharya. Ramanuja, from the very beginning, he was exhibiting very special symptoms. He was always wanting to serve. He had many Shiksha Gurus, Kanchi Purna, Mahapurna. He took mantra from Goshti Purna. He was very attached to Yamuna Acharya, but as you know, he could not take initiation from him. But somehow he felt a very deep connection with Yamuna Acharya. So, I'll just tell, because we have limited time, I'll just tell the stories in few sentences each, most of the important stories. One of his main mood was always to serve. Especially like to serve the senior Vaishnavas like Kanchipurna. And one of the times he was serving Kanchipurna and he was massaging his feet. And Kanchipurna said, I am a low-born Shudra. I'm not even a Brahmana. Why are you serving me? And Ramanuja replied that, if my being a Brahman prevents me from serving your lotus feet, then this is inauspicious. Is it simply wearing a sacred thread that makes one a Brahmana? One who is fully devoted to the service of Lord Vishnu and his servants, he is a true Brahmana. When Kanchipurna heard this, he was so pleased. Then both of them kept on discussing whole night topics about Lord and his devotion and his devotees. Ramanuja Acharya had to go through a school where the teacher was contaminated with Mayavad philosophy. His name was Yadava Prakash. And Yadava Prakash was very intellectual, knowledgeable in the Shastra, but not a devotee of Vishnu. So Ramanuja, he did not like that his guru was teaching this impersonalistic stance. But because of the etiquette and because of situation, many a times he could not say anything. But sometimes he would express himself. One day, as Yadava Prakash was speaking something about Chandogya Upanishad, and there was a reference to the Supreme Lord as Kapiyasam. So Yadava Prakash was explaining the word Kapiyasam in a way which was not really appropriate. With explaining that this Kapiyasam, this red colored of the Lord, is like the rear end of a monkey. The Lord's eyes are like lotuses, but as red, something like the rear side of the monkey. And Ramanuja, he was so aggrieved, started weeping, and hot tears started coming out of his eyes. Yadava Prakash was surprised, and he asked, why are you so much disturbed? What is the problem? Ramanuja explained that, I just can't bear this. Supreme Lord, a person, and you are comparing his eyes in this way. It is sinful. It is sinful. I never expected from a teacher to speak like this. So Yadava Prakash became very angry. And he said, I am also aggrieved. You are an inferior person and you are speaking impudently. If you have become so proud, you think you know better than me, and you give an explanation. So Ramanuja very nicely explained in a very humble way. He said, by your mercy, everything is possible. Maintaining the proper etiquette. And then he explained that the word Kapiyasam, kam jalam pibati, that which drinks up the water, that is the sun. The sun absorbs all the water. So the word Kapi means the sun. So that which blossoms under the sunlight, that is lotus. That is what the Lord's eyes are. They are as beautiful as a lotus flower. Yadava Prakash was surprised. He was obviously defeated. And he did not say anything. But in his heart, he began to think that Ramanuja is a threat for me. If he becomes prominent, nobody will listen to me. And there were many such conflicts. And then finally, Yadava Prakash was thinking that I'll get rid of Ramanuja. So they went on some yatra where Yadava Prakash's cousin brother, whose name was Govinda, he was also there. And they were planning that they would kill Ramanujacharya. But Govinda, in one secluded place, he told him that, be careful. They are plotting against you. So Ramanuja escaped. He didn't know where he was. He was in the middle of the forest. He found a hunter and his wife, and they showed him the way back to Kanchipuram. His birthplace is very near Kanchipuram. It's Sri Perumbudur. You remember we went in Yatra once, Sri Perumbudur. Bhutapuri also it is called, where there's one of the deities. There are two or three important deities of Ramanujacharya. One of them was made by himself. He breathed into it. And one deity, I believe, in Srirangam, where the nails and the hairs still growing, so many thousands of years old. So Ramanuja came back, and he was thinking that how should I behave? But still he was hoping that Yadava Prakash would change. Once it so happened that the princess of Kanchipuram was attacked by a ghost. And the father, that is the king, he came to Yadava Prakash and said, please help. You know some way of getting rid of this ghost? I mean, after all, ghost is reality. But if you chant Hare Krishna, there is no more ghost. You had experience in our Nigdi ashram, one ghost was coming regularly. Yeah. In fact, one of the brahmacharis were somewhat fearful, and one of the grihastha devotees said, I will come and see what happens. He slept that night and the ghost came and attacked him also. But finally there was kirtan, chanting of the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Where there is chanting of the holy name, there is no ghost. Actually, if there is no chanting, then it's all ghost, nothing else. Because one of the symptoms of a person afflicted by ghost is, he speaks something unnatural. Is it not? Like suppose you are attacked by a French ghost, you learn French immediately. You start speaking in French. So we are all attacked by Maya's ghost. So we are speaking Maya's language. I am young, I am old, I am Brahmachari, I am Grihastha, I am Indian, American. This is all bhoot language, you know, ghost language. The true language is, I am servant of the servant. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that this Maya is like a witch. Kota Nidra Jao Maya Pishach. We are sleeping on the lap of this witch. So this ghost has to be removed by chanting Hare Krishna. So he came to Yadav Prakash for help. And Yadav Prakash, he tried various mantras, but there was no effect. And the ghost spoke. The ghost spoke, he said, Yadav Prakash, why are you wasting your time? Go back. I am too powerful. I am not going to leave because of your mantras. But your disciple, Ramanuja, he is a great devotee. I aspire to get the dust of his feet. If he places his lotus feet on the head of this princess, then I will also leave. I will also be blessed. So whatever the person gets, the ghost also gets, you know. That's the way the ghost operates, you know. So Ramanujacharya was requested, and Ramanuja placed his lotus feet on the head of the princess, and immediately the ghost vanished. There are many such stories. And finally, there was confrontation. And Yadav Prakash was speaking on Sarva Khalvam Idam Brahma, that everything is Brahman. There is nothing but Brahman. That means everything is one. Ramanuja could not tolerate. Ramanuja explained that actually everything is one. It means that everything is his energy. Everything is the energy of the Lord. Doesn't mean that everything is just equal to God. It is Lord who has so many things emanating from him, and yet he is separate. He has his own identity also. Just as separate pearls are held on a thread, everything is held together by the Supreme Lord. Mahi Sutram Mani, Mani Sutram Iva. So when Ramanuja, Yadav Prakash heard this, he said, if you don't like my explanation, why are you staying here? You get out of here. And Ramanuja decided to leave. So there are many other important incidents. One of the incidents is about Ramanuja's initiation. Actually, before, when Yamunacharya was about to leave his body, he sent a message that Ramanujacharya should come and see me. So Ramanuja left immediately. But before he reached Srirangam, which was the headquarters of Yamunacharya, before he reached, Yamunacharya had left. So as his divine body was there and everybody was lamenting, so Ramanuja came and he saw that the three fingers of the right hand, they were clenched very tightly. So he was surprised. What is the significance? He asked the disciples, were his fingers always like this? So they explained, no, it was never like this. We cannot guess. Ramanuja said, I will take three vows. First is, remaining fixed in devotion to Lord Vishnu, I will free people from the clutches of Maya by spreading the glories of the Lord. So as he said this first principle of preaching, one of the fingers opened. Then Ramanuja said, to establish that there is no truth beyond Lord Vishnu, I will write a commentary on Vedanta Sutra called Sri Bhashya. So second finger opened up. And then finally said, in order to show my great respect, the great sage Parashara, the father of Vyasadev, I shall name one Vaishnava, one of my disciples after him. And immediately third finger opened. So Ramanuja understood that Yamunacharya has this mission for me. This incident also shows how the real connection with the parampara is through sound vibration. Although physically Ramanujacharya was not able to associate with Yamunacharya, but the connection was there through the parampara, through the sound vibration. So after some time, Ramanuja, his mother left. Ramanuja was married. His wife's name was Raksha Kambal. Before this, one more incident. She accepted the official vows of initiation from Mahapurna. But later on, we'll see, he took the mantra from Goshtipurna. Now, Ramanuja's wife, her name was Raksha Kambal. And she was very beautiful, devoted to her husband, very strict. But she was very ritualistic. And she did not know how to honor others properly. So, one day it so happened that Ramanuja went to Kanchipurna's place and requested him that you please come for prasad. And Kanchipurna agreed. He said, all right, I will come. He didn't want to really, because he was thinking, I am not qualified. I am coming from a Shudra background. Ramanuja is from a Brahminical background. So Ramanuja, seeing the insistence of Ramanuja, he agreed, I will come. So Ramanuja told his wife that prepare the best preparation. My guru is coming. Mahapurna is coming. So she began to prepare. And Kanchipurna knew that it would be so embarrassing for me. Ramanuja is such an exalted person. So anyway, he decided to come to the house from a different route so that he would not meet Ramanujacharya. Ramanujacharya came to receive him. In the meanwhile, Mahapurna reached the home by a different route. And when he came there, he told mother, I have to go to the temple very quickly. Please give me whatever is ready. I want to go. Shikambal said, please wait, my husband has just gone. He will be returning. No, I just want to leave. I am afraid I cannot wait. I cannot neglect my service to Lord Varadraj just for the sake of my stomach. Service to Lord is more important than feeding the belly. It's different from what people think, you know. Adi potova, magvitova, something. But here we see service to Lord is important. I'm getting late. So she served prasad. And after finishing, she was thinking, oh, a Shudra has eaten prasad there. So I should clean this place up with cow dung and everything. She gave away the remnants to some Shudra. Now, meanwhile, Ramanujacharya came back. And he said, did Kanchipurna come here? He said, yes, he came. Where is the prasad? He said, this prasad, I thought, is from Shudra background. May not be appropriate for us to take. So I gave it to some Shudra. And I cleaned this place very nicely. Ramanuja was very angry. He said, you are a foolish woman. You do not understand that Vaishnavism is not dependent on caste or which varna or ashram one is from. It's my great misfortune. In the meanwhile, Ramanuja, he would regularly visit Varadraj, the deity in Kanchipurna. And one day Ramanuja requested Kanchipurna, because Kanchipurna used to regularly communicate with the deity, Varadraj. He would ask questions, Lord would talk to him just like face to face, there was communication. So Ramanuja told his guru, you please tell the Lord that I would like to be enlightened. So Kanchipurna went and spoke to the Lord. Ramanuja wants some instruction. Please tell. The Lord spoke some confidential things. He said, I am the supreme Brahman, the cause of material nature. That is the first instruction. The separate existence of the Jiva and Supreme Lord is an eternal truth. In other words, it's not that the living entity becomes one with the Lord. Third, surrendering to the lotus feet of the Lord is the true path of liberation, the complete surrender. And the fourth is that devotees will be liberated even if by chance they fail to remember me at the time of death. This seems something contradictory to the Bhagavad Gita. Really, Bhagavad Gita, it says that whatever you think of at the time of death. But here it says that Supreme Lord says here, the devotees will be liberated even if they fail to remember. In other words, the Lord is, he can do anything. If he is pleased with the devotee for his lifelong service, he can arrange things in such a way so as to take him back to Godhead in spite of any shortcomings. Recently I read in Chaitanya Bhagavat also. Chaitanya Bhagavat says that even if the most sinful person, even if he's not a devotee, if he's a very sinful person, if at the time of death he is hearing the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, even if he's hearing the holy name, he goes back to Godhead. And the fifth point is, As soon as my devotees give up their bodies, I take them back to my abode. And finally, you should go to Mahapurna and take shelter of him. So Ramanuja, he was very happy to receive instructions, and he went to Mahapurna, and there was a formal initiation ceremony. Some of you are familiar with, in the Sri Sampradaya, they have this marks put on the body, you know, with hot, so the marks are put on the hands. So those marks were put, and Lord Vishnu's chakra and conscience. So in this way he was formally initiated. After some time he requested Mahapurna that you please come and stay with your wife at my home. I would like to serve you. So Mahapurna agreed to this request. 6 months they were serving. But one day when Ramanuja and Mahapurna, they were both away from home, Rakshakambal, that is the wife of Ramanucharya, had gone to take some water from the well. And just at that time, the wife of Mahapurna was also there. And some water from the pitcher of Mahapurna's wife fell into the water of Ramanucharya's wife. So she was very upset, says, "Are you blind? Look at what you have done. Do you think that you can sit on my shoulder because you are my guru's wife? What do you think of yourself? I cannot blame you also because I have fallen to the hands of this husband of mine. All my caste is lost. All my position is lost. Hare Krishna." What a glorious, what an unfortunate situation. Being the wife of, what it shows is that everybody has their own free will. Being the wife of Ramanujacharya, an exalted person. Same way, say, Prabhupada's wife also. Everybody has their free will ultimately. So, and Mahapurna came back. His wife was crying. She was very upset. So, Mahapurna said, "Actually, it is the will of the Lord. I think we should not stay here any longer. We should leave this place." So, they left and they went to Sri Rangam. And then, Ramanucharya came back and asked, "Where is Mahapurna?" His wife said, "Actually, I had a quarrel with his wife and I hardly spoke any harsh words, maybe a few harsh words. I did not speak too much. But they decided to leave. I have heard that a sadhu is supposed to be free from anger. It doesn't hold true in case of Ramanucharya. It must be a new sort of sadhu. I offer my millions of obeisances at the feet of your sadhu." Very sarcastically she said. Ramanuja said, "This is too much." She said, "Oh, sinful woman, just seeing you is the source of all sins. I'm leaving this place." He went to do some worship for Varadraj, get some flowers and fruits. And in the meanwhile, another Brahman came to the house of Ramanuja begging alms. And Ramanujacharya's wife, she spoke in a very shrill voice, "Get out of here, go somewhere else. Why have you come here? Do you think this is a beggar's place?" So this Brahman was very disappointed and his face was very morose. And as he was coming out, he met Ramanucharya a little away. And Ramanucharya asked him, What happened? You seem to be very distressed. Somebody said something. Where are you coming from? I'm coming from your home. And your wife spoke this sarcastic words. So Ramanuja said, "Okay, I will give you a letter. Please take this letter and give it to my wife. I'm sure she will give you good prasad now." So he wrote a letter. The letter was written as if Ramanujacharya's father-in-law is writing the letter. So he wrote the letter, "My dear son," written to Ramanuja, "my second daughter is going to be married very soon. So please send my elder daughter, Rakshakambal, to my house quickly. If you have no pressing business, you can also come. But even if you cannot come, please send my daughter quickly." That shows that Ramanucharya, persons of his stature also have to use tricks like this, you know, to get away from family life, you know. So he wrote this letter and the Brahman took this letter and gave it to Rakshakambal and she was very happy that this letter was from her father and she fed the Brahman very nicely. Somehow she got some prasad. And in the meantime, Ramanuja came back. Rakshakambal said, "There's a letter for you." So he saw this letter. Ramanuja said, "I think you should go. I have some urgent business, so I cannot accompany you, but you can go. I will come later on." Please convey my respects to your mother and father. Rakshakamba left and Ramanuja ran to Varadaraj and he said, my lord, I take complete shelter of your lotus feet. Now, no more family life. I want to take sannyas. So he went and he obtained saffron colored cloth and took a staff that was touched by the lotus feet of Lord Varadaraj. And by the arrangement of the lord, at that very moment, Kanchipurna, his Shiksha Guru came and he gave him the name Yatiraj. Yati means sannyasi and Yatiraj means the best of the sannyasis. So after this, Ramanuja started preaching. We don't have so much time, but he preached all over India. It is said that he established so many mutts, and he had 74 centers of Sri Vaishnavism. He initiated 700 sannyasis, 12,000 brahmacharis, thousands of householders, and also Ketri Ammas, that women who are almost like renounced order of life, living in an ashram. He initiated many kings and wealthy landowners. There was one priest who was so envious of Ramanuja that he tried to poison Ramanujacharya. But Ramanujacharya gave him mercy also. He accepted the poison and he was exhibiting symptoms of ecstasy. We know the story of Khuresha. Some years back, devotees, Govind Prabhu and others had done that drama of how Khuresha was, his disciple was willing to give his, not only willing, he actually gave his eyes to please Ramanujacharya. So, it's a very special day for all of us to meditate on the qualities of Ramanujacharya, especially his compassion. I'd like to conclude with the story of how he accepted the mantra. He was told by his guru to go and take the mantra from Goshtipurna, who was also a disciple of Yamunacharya. So, Ramanujacharya, he went to Goshtipurna. And he asked him that please give me the mantra. And Goshtipurna was thinking that this mantra is supposed to be for those who are pure in heart. So how can I give this mantra? But Ramanujacharya came again and again. 18 times he was refused. And finally, the Lord spoke to Goshtipurna. The Lord spoke and said that you give initiation, you give this mantra to Ramanuja. He's a pure-hearted soul. You don't know his glories. And finally, Goshtipurna called Ramanujacharya and told him this is a secret mantra. And this mantra is very powerful. Anybody who hears this mantra, he'll become completely purified. So he gave him the mantra, which is Om Namo Narayanaya, the Ashtakshariya mantra. So Ramanuja, when he heard the glories of the mantra, being a compassionate personality, he was so delighted, he ran to a place, a small hill, and called all the people of the village. After calling everybody, he said, you are all very dear to me, more dear to me than my very life, and I want to give you something which is very precious. And he told everybody to repeat after him, Om Namo Narayanaya. The pleasure of Ramanujacharya, a little louder. Om Namo Narayanaya. Om Namo Narayanaya. And then he told them, you go back and continue chanting this mantra. Be freed from all suffering. Go back to Godhead. And meanwhile, Goshtipurna got the news and he was so annoyed. He was so angry. He called for Ramanuja and chastised him. You rascal, you know what will be the consequence of this? Ramanuja said, yes, I know. For having disobeyed you, I'll have to go to hell. But I was thinking that if so many people are delivered, and if I'm just one insignificant person like me has to go to hell, there's no loss. I'm ready for that. And seeing his compassion, seeing his mood, Goshtipurna was moved. And he fell. He started offering obeisance to Ramanuja and said, you are my guru. And Ramanuja said, no, I'm just your humble servant. I'm just a servant. And then from then onwards, Ramanuja started preaching all over the glories of the holy name, the glories of Lord Vishnu. And especially his philosophy was Vishishtadvaita, that is, qualitative oneness, the living entity and the supreme Lord, they are qualitatively one. They are qualitatively one. Of course, we know the story of how Ramanuja was approaching a village and he sent a disciple to give information. And somehow the devotee, Yagesh, he did not receive the disciples very nicely. So Ramanuja decided not to go to this devotee's home and instead went to a poor man's home. Because he told Yagesh that if you want to please me, you have to please my servants. Again, the same mood as we find in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, which is the essence of all devotion, is to be the servant of the servant of the servant. During his last days, Ramanujacharya was staying at Sri Rangam and he instructed his followers. He said, "Do not lament. Do you not know that the soul is eternal? Why are you lamenting?" And still, because the devotees were lamenting, so he said, "If you so desire," the disciples were saying, "that at least we want to have a murti of yours." And Ramanujacharya agreed to this proposal. He ordered that expert sculptors be brought to carve a stone deity. After 3 days, the deity was carved, and Ramanuja came slowly up to the deity and filled the deity with his potency by breathing into the crown of the head. And then he said, "This is not different from me. When I leave my body, you can worship this." And in this way, he made himself available. Some of his final instructions are as follows. He said, "Worship all the Vaishnavas as you worship your Guru." Again, same thing we find in Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, especially Radhanath Swami Maharaj. He emphasizes this point of being the servant of the servant. "Have faith in the previous acharyas. Never be controlled by the senses. Never be satisfied by worldly knowledge. Study the scriptures and most of all, always relish the chanting of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare." The best way to serve the Lord, Ramanujacharya told us in his final instruction, is to render service to the Vaishnavas. Never follow the ways of Vaishnava for material purposes and always endeavor for purity of heart. Spend some time every day contemplating the glories of the spiritual master, study the teachings of the Vaishnava Acharyas, and try to associate with those who are surrendered to the Supreme Lord. Avoid those who are averse to the path of devotional service. And then he explained the point that one who sees the deity as stone and Guru as an ordinary man, and who sees Charanamrita as ordinary water, or who sees Vaishnavas according to Jati Buddhi, such a person is fit to go to hell. And then somebody asked, "My Gurudev, if you are leaving, how will we conduct this world? How will we continue?" Ramanuja replied, "One who has surrendered to Lord Narayan should never worry about the future. Should fully depend on the mercy of the Lord. All duties should be performed in that consciousness." Then he said, "Study the Sri Bhashya and teach it to others. This is not possible, then study the teachings of other devotees. If you cannot do this, go to some holy place and serve the Lord there. If you cannot do this, simply search for a pure-hearted devotee. Associate with him constantly. Discriminate between devotees and non-devotees. Your real friends are Vaishnavas and your real enemies are those who have no faith in God. Associate with devotees and rigorously avoid the blasphemers. Never flatter worldly people and remember that Supreme Lord is always taking care of his devotee." And his final instruction was, "Take shelter of the Supreme Lord, have faith in the Supreme Lord. And if you follow these instructions, you will always be with me." And saying these words, he put his head on Govinda's lap, his cousin brother, his feet on the lap of Andhrapurna, one of his disciples, and he kept his eyes fixed on the wooden shoes of his own spiritual master. And on the 10th day of the bright moon, the month of Magh, he left and went back to the spiritual world. So... spend few seconds just praying for the mercy of Shripad Ramanujacharya to get enlightenment in the holy name. Shripad Ramanujacharya ki jai. Any questions, comments? Bhrigupati Prabhu would like to. Any comments, Prabhuji? Like to. Any comments? Vrishabhanu Prabhu? Anybody else would like to? Yes, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. You said that we should not praise anyone or blaspheme anyone. But Guru Maharaj always says that you should appreciate anything anyone does for you. And if someone's empowered by Krishna, you should always appreciate and praise that person. So could you please?
The principle is not praise anybody for material quality. If you praise somebody that because your hairstyle is good, or if you praise somebody because your speech is good, or if your music is good, these are external qualities. If you praise somebody that you are a servant of God, you are serving Krishna very nicely, that praise is on the spiritual platform. If you praise somebody on the level of the body and the mind, that praise is it can lead to offenses to those who don't have that quality. But praise on the spiritual platform, that even if somebody is not doing anything significant, but just sweeping the floor, you praise, oh, how wonderful it is that you are fortunate to clean the floor for Radha Gopinath. And that praise is bona fide. We don't praise devotees for external success, but we praise them for their devotional qualities which are pleasing to Krishna. Is that correct, Vishwanath Prabhu? You like it? Raghupati Prabhu, would you like to say something about this?
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Let us say something.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. So, Ramanujacharya used dacoits in making temples, building temples. So what does it signify?
Those alvars, that temple with the help of the dacoits. Yeah. It was his predecessors, not Ramanujacharya himself, but predecessors, correct? Yeah, yeah. That they had. What is the question?
What does it signify?
Hare Krishna. No comments. It is a very special case of devotional service. Because these dacoits, they were so degraded that they could not have been engaged in devotional service otherwise. And there was need for money also. So the Tirumangai Alwar, I think, it was Tirumangai Alwar who engaged the robbers. These are very special cases in Vaishnava history. And unless under very superior direction, we cannot imitate these activities. We cannot think, oh, let me go to the railway station and rob people and help build something. It's a very unique example in Vaishnava history. Under very special devotees, and these dacoits, they were actually not going to do anything for Krishna otherwise. And people were also not willing to give otherwise. So the situation was like that. So this is my understanding. You like to say something? Yes, sir. Prabhupada ki jai, Shripad Ramanujacharya ki jai.